gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome to Hound Pound Sports Talk, ladies and gentlemen, alongside Sam Wiederhoft and Brady Klein. I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. We have a lot to discuss today, the latest in Greyhound basketball, boys and girls. And to start off with, we're talking about the girls team, and we are joined by junior guard Olivia Christie from the Lady Greyhounds. Thanks for joining us, Olivia.
No problem.
So, Olivia, big win versus Hamilton Southeastern, 62-37. But for the first part of that first quarter, it was somewhat of a close game. And I thought you guys were nervous. I said it on the air. I'm like, these guys, I think they're nervous. They're making mental mistakes. Were you guys nervous going out there?
I definitely was for sure because that was the first sectional game I really had ever played in because I last two never played in. So I was very nervous, and I know definitely for the seniors were as well. So, yes, I would say a lot of our mental mistakes came from that.
Now, Hamilton Southeastern was constantly bringing in new players. They used everybody off their bench. Was that hard to kind of keep up with new players coming off the bench and new players on the court all the time?
No, I wouldn't exactly say so, because a lot of the players they were putting in were pretty inexperienced, and it was pretty much their first sectional game, too, so I'd say they were, if not more nervous than the starters. So, no, I don't think so.
Was it difficult not to look past them?
Look past the
HSC?
Non-star. Yes. beating them as well we did the first time. But we were told to take it one game at a time, and these games are considered trap games, so we didn't want to, you know, get trapped in them.
Playing off the question Jack just asked you, it's always tough to beat a team twice, and you guys did to HSC. How did you guys do that throughout the two games this season?
Well, we didn't change our game plan a whole lot. So I think we knew their weaknesses very well. They have a lot of individual players. They don't necessarily play as a team, so I think we worked off knowing that. So, yeah.
Scoring was scattered across the board. Three different players had double-digit points. Why do you think the offense was so effective in that game?
We ran our sets very well against them, I would say. Better than we did the first time. And a lot of those sets are, we never have just one particular player set for just one player. So I think just running a whole lot of different plays for different people. Yeah.
Did you guys have a different energy in practice leading up to Tuesday because it's sectionals?
Oh, definitely. We were very pumped and excited just to get this rolling. A lot of it might have come from nerves, but yeah, we were definitely very, very pumped leading up practice, going really hard.
You said earlier that this was your first real sectional game that you played in, and being only a junior, what's it like being a junior on this team and providing such a great impact?
Definitely different from the last 2 years where I kind of felt more like I wasn't making a lot of an impact. So it's definitely different this year, but it feels makes basketball a whole lot more fun. Just is a lot more exciting this year being able to make this impact. And yeah.
You know, focusing on the game tomorrow against Fishers. First game against Fishers was 54-24. I mean, a complete blowout. You guys held them 2 points in the first half. It was 33-2. Are you really expecting anything different this Friday against Fishers, given that it is sectionals?
Yeah, that's what we talked about yesterday at practice. I mean, our coach said they'll try anything and everything to get a different outcome. I mean, they could try pretty anything crazy, he said, be ready to expect. So, yes, we are looking like that it is looking like they are going to do probably something a little different, a little bit unorthodox. So we are prepared for something if they throw something like that at us. Yes.
Now, just like you said, it's your job as a player to take it one game at a time, but it's our job as the media to sort of look past the first couple games. So who do you think your toughest opponent down the road could potentially be in sectionals?
I would say, I thought our game against Noblesville, I know at one point we were up quite a bit, but I never felt like that was an easy game. With the game against Westfield, I felt like, we didn't give maybe all we could. So I'm definitely a little bit, I definitely think I would choose Noblesville as more tough than Westfield because they're just very physically imposing. Noblesville is, so I would say Noblesville.
Now you guys have a pretty good win record this year. What has been your toughest obstacle you've had to overcome this season?
Ooh, okay. I would say playing the teams that we are maybe expected to lose against. I know a lot of the time we have been the favorite for sectionals and we've been a favorite in a lot of these games, but I think probably playing in the games that we are chosen or predicted to lose, and I'd probably say we don't not always respond how we should. I'd say that's probably one of our biggest obstacles.
And now you guys are the favorite to win the sectional. You guys have beaten every single team in your sectional in the regular season. But what are you guys trying to do to make sure that doesn't go to your head, not to get overconfident so you don't go out and blow these games?
Yeah, taking it a game at a time, I think, is the way we keep getting told at practice before the games, like not to look past Fishers and not to look past the sectional because we talked about how sectionals is always usually like the hardest part to get out of because, you know, it's all the teams you've already played. It's the teams closest to you, girls you probably know on the other teams. So I'd say, that.
Now, I was a spectator at the game, and I witnessed one play where you wrestled the ball out of a couple of girls' arms and you took it in for a layup, and Coach Winland, I know, was very happy with that. Does that play sort of describe you as a player in general?
He gets pumped up about those plays and it feels pretty good, but I like basketball because it is contact and because it is just who wants it more, and I think a lot of the times I really want it more, so yeah, I'd say it does.
And a lot of the high energy plays are the big sparks that you have provided and other players have provided on this team. If you had to pick one player on this team as the sort of emotional leader, who would you pick?
Definitely Celine Funky.
Everybody said that.
Quaz. On the bench, they put on just so much energy from the bench. And, you can see pictures of them. It's crazy how excited they get, and it's awesome, and it's fun to play with.
Now, with the way the schedule turns out, you guys have the sectional semifinal on Friday and then the sectional final immediately on Saturday. Not a lot of time to prepare, given that you guys do win the game against Fishers on Friday. So how will you prepare for that sectional final?
I think we are already preparing, and we've been preparing since just the start of the tournament. I know we talk about not looking past Fishers as an opponent, but in a way you kind of have to in terms of it being that game. The sectional final is obviously beating Fishers is important, but the final team is going to pose more of a challenge than Fishers will, so I know that we've already been preparing for whether it be Noblesville or Westfield.
This has arguably been the most successful team in Carmel Lady Greyhound basketball since you guys won the state championship a few years ago. So why do you think this team is special?
I'd say it starts from our seniors. They had 2 years with another coach, and now that we are peaking and with them, I think it's a lot of fun because, and I think we are having the most fun that, I mean, personally, I've had the most fun this year that I have the last 3 years, and I would say that the other four seniors would say the same. I think it's just definitely been our most fun year, and it starts in the summer, and I mean, last season when we got out, we were in the weight room the following week, so I think we've just been preparing for this year since last February, so... And it's just a lot of fun playing with the four seniors. You don't want them to go, so yeah.
And you talk about the four seniors, and I'm going to sort of take my last question a different direction. Who are some of the underclassmen, some of the younger players that are providing a great impact on this team that are doing great in the scouting reports as well?
Well, of course, Amy and Blake, but I'd say Mackenzie Wood puts in minutes off the bench, same with Molly Gillig. So I'd say definitely those two, they're going to take on definitely a bigger role next year than they played this year. And I know that he's preparing them for that and they're ready. I'm also other freshmen other than Mackenzie Wood, I'd say Macy Berglund and Reagan Hune are definitely, he's definitely putting them in positions for next year to play varsity. So.
What's your pregame playlist?
You don't, even yes. set up the question at
no,
all.
I went right to it.
Yeah, we play Footloose, and I mean it goes from everywhere. We start out like me, myself, and I, and then we'll play some Footloose, and then we'll play like, oh gosh, anything. Got Dancing Queen on there, and we got a little bit of Zac Brown Band.
I heard about these legendary dance parties before games.
Yeah, they're pretty fun. It's my favorite part.
It's definitely a way to get locked in. I know you guys hate my transitions, but I'm going to have another transition here.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier that seniors played 2 years under a different coach. Then Coach Winland came in. What kind of impact have you seen Coach Winland make in these 2 years? I mean, he's really turned the program around.
Yeah, it's hard to come up with just like a short way to put it. But yes, he took our... a total 180. I can't even imagine what it'd be like if he didn't come in. I don't want to really imagine what he came, like, be like if he didn't come in, but I mean, he just instilled this whole new just passion and just fire, not only for basketball, but just for winning, like, in general. Like, winning all through practice, winning every competition, every drill. He just put this burr in our saddle, as he would say, and just totally turned us around to making it from a coach that was not content but not angry with a loss to Winland, who can't see straight after a loss. So yeah, it's been a total difference from that first year I played in the first 2 years those seniors had.
Yeah, that was a great question to end on, Sam. Make sure to tune in tomorrow night, Friday night. Sam and Leo Robleski, along with Jake Leach, have the call for the girls' sectional game at 6 o'clock against Fishers. Should be a good game for the Lady Greyhounds. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the girls' team and then later about the boys' team here on Hound Pound Sports Talk.
Stop me on the corner. Swear you hit me like a vision. I wasn't expecting, but who am I to tell Faye where it's supposed to go with it? Don't you blink, you might miss it. See, we got a right to just love it or leave it.
We are WHA Sports here on Hound Pound Sports Talk. Ladies and gentlemen, alongside Sam Wiederhoff and Brady Klein, I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. Just got finished talking to Olivia Christie. Great interview with her. So now, Sam, let's talk to you a little bit. You are the play-by-play man for the girls' basketball games, and they had a great win against HSC. What did you see out of them in that game that they can take moving forward throughout the rest of sectionals?
Yeah, it just looked really dominant against HSC. They really didn't have a chance the whole game. They came out with some, beginning of the game jitters. It was a little scary at the beginning. Hamilton Southeastern was hanging with Carmel the whole for a lot of the first half, and we were really making some mental mistakes, turning the ball over a lot. But once we cleared that up, we started playing a lot better, and defense was outstanding. Like you said, Olivia Christie and Carrie Larson both had great plays where they just stole the ball from the defender and put up a quick, easy layup. So, it was a really good victory, and they look good. I definitely believe this team can easily win the sectional championship. Looked really good in the first round and should have a great game against Fishers as well.
Sam, who was the girls' team's last loss? Do you remember that? Do you know?
Last loss was Homestead, Homestead. Yeah, we're on a 5-game winning streak.
And
right
you guys did not broadcast that game, but since that loss, how do you think that team's turned around?
Oh, they've been great. And you know, that was, I don't want to say a good loss, but that was a solid game.
Weren't they the number one team in the state?
Yeah, Homestead, yeah. Number one team in the state, and we were away. We were at Homestead, too, or the girls' team was at Homestead, too, and, you know, lose by 34-30, and we interviewed Emily Kamek on the show a few weeks ago. She said Homestead was averaging in, like, the 70s in the points, like, around mid-70s, and, you know, the Greyhounds to hold them to 34, it was a close game the entire time, and they've just been great. Ever since they got upset by North Central at home, North Central was home. Ever since that loss, the Carmel Greyhounds' defense has been outstanding and the offense has been playing very well, and they've been on quite a run.
From listening to you and watching a few games myself, I think the key for this team has been their defense, especially their pressure, the full court press that they use, and that gave HSC so many problems the other night. Do you think that's been the key for them throughout the year?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely been the pressure, and the full court press has really been working as well. You know, Coach Winland plays that full court press for basically the whole game, and they'll double team the person taking the ball up, and that created so many problems for the Royals. They were barely able to get the ball on their own side of the court, and you know, it's really caused some troubles for a lot of teams. I think if they can keep doing that and keep putting on this tight pressure, they'll definitely have a shot to go very far in this playoff run.
And we ask all the players that are in here who the emotional leader is on this team and which one player do you think is, in opposing teams, is the most under-scouted player, the one player that teams really don't scout well enough for?
Scout?
The, the biggest surprise player.
Biggest surprise player. That's creative. I like that. You know, I think it was really the person we just interviewed, Olivia Christie. We had Christie have a huge game against Jay County. She scored double. I can't remember how many points she had, but it was nine or 10, but she was really popping threes well. And she can be a surprise 3-point shooter. And, you know, I don't think teams really look at that. She popped a couple threes against Hamilton Southeastern. And, you know, I think really teams don't really expect that. She's a great ball handler. She's able to get down the court and plays really tight defense. So I would have to say Olivia Christie is the one, that kind of the dark horse of this team.
Okay, I don't want to make any assumptions, but say that Carmel beats Fishers tomorrow night.
Most likely.
Most likely. And then they move on to play, most likely, Westfield or Noblesville. Anderson's in the mix there, too.
Anderson got beat by Noblesville in the first round.
They did? Yeah. Okay, never mind then.
Just kidding.
Westfield or Noblesville?
Yeah, it's Westfield versus Noblesville is the game.
So which one of those teams do you think could give the Greyhounds the most trouble?
Well, we did beat Noblesville away by 11 points earlier in the year. You know, handled them pretty well. I think it would be great to get revenge on Noblesville in the championship because we did lose to Noblesville in the first round of sectionals. But I think Westfield would put up the better fight. That Westfield game, they came in. It was Carmel versus Westfield earlier in the year. And Westfield came in with a 10-0 record. And Carmel beat them by 51-48 to break that 10-0 record. So I think it was a closer game, especially with the Greyhounds being at home in that game. It was closer. I think Westfield has a very good offensive presence, and that could caused the Greyhounds defense to have some struggles. And I think that Westfield, if Westfield can beat Noblesville in the sectional semifinal, I think they'd give the Greyhounds a run for their money.
I asked this question to Olivia earlier, but what has been your favorite moment of the season so far?
There's a few. I'd say beating Westfield was good, breaking their undefeated record at home. You know, the overtime game against Roncalli, it was, we did end up losing by 5, but it was very, very intense, very exciting as we went into overtime. And Roncalli has a solid team, and I think if we play them again, we'd beat them pretty well. You know, I don't know. There's been a lot of great moments, and I'm sure there's more to come. I think this Greyhound team can go very, very deep into the playoffs, and we'll see what happens.
Prediction, do you think they win sectionals?
Yes, I think they do. They've beat every single team in the regular season in their sectional already, and with that showing against Hamilton Southeastern, the first time they played HSC earlier in the year, they beat them by 20. The second time, they beat them by 25. They're showing improvement. This team has really improved from the beginning of the year until now. So, yeah, I think this team can win sectionals, and like I said, like I've been saying, go deep into the playoffs.
All right, that'll wrap it up for girls basketball. After the break, we will talk about boys basketball. Here's an interview. Brady was able to sit down with athletic director Jim Idzkeep, and he discussed some of the new athletic facilities here at Carmel High School. You're listening to Hound Pound. Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to the boys team now. They have a huge matchup tonight, 6:30, an unusual starting time against Lawrence North down at Indiana Farmers Bureau Coliseum. It used to be called Pepsi Coliseum. It's where the Indy Fuel play right now, where we graduate in just a few months, boys. It's hard to believe.
Man.
But that should be a very entertaining matchup. The first of a doubleheader, North Central and Lawrence Central play there at 8 after the Carmel game is finished. But they have a tough matchup against Lawrence North.
Yeah, they do. You also can't forget to mention that it's also the home of the IUPUI Jaguars. They play their basketball games there as well. So that's where the Greyhounds will be playing tonight on the court of the IUPUI Jaguars, home of George Hill, hometown hero for the Pacers. But sticking to the Carmel game, tonight is going to be a great matchup, one of the toughest games in recent weeks, probably since the Pike game. This will be the toughest game for them for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that it'll be pretty tough. But let's start it off with a tough question. Do you think the team this year has a better shot at winning state than they did last year?
That's tough. You said it's a tough question, and I don't know how well I can answer that. Because last year you had Keegan Cole, you had Ryan Klein, you had those guys on your bench and on your team as well. Where this year you don't have that one player that can just absolutely destroy everything and take over the game like a Ryan Klein could. So I don't know. They have Garrett Covington, they have Preston Flamey, and they have Trent Richardson. They have PJ Barron to throw, just to name some more guys. I want to say yes. I want to say yes, they have a better chance this year because they have more players that are able to play with each other instead of just the one Ryan Klein who takes over.
I don't know. I think they got to improve that outside shooting, to be honest with you. I just don't think it's still at the mark where it's at. You know, Covington's still kind of learning the team. He's got some time to improve throughout the year. I don't know. That team last year was pretty solid. They lacked in ball handling with Ryan Klein. I don't know. We'll see as we come into these next few games. But, I think last year's team had a better chance. But this team, like Coach Hetty said, when we brought him in the beginning of the year, he said, this team's going to get better, and they really have.
They're on a 5-game winning streak. They are undefeated ever since Garrett Covington joined. And, you know, they just have a different energy about them, a different swagger about them. You know, they're playing much more confident basketball, and they're winning in different ways. You know, you see them at Ben Davis. We weren't able to broadcast the game, but they win 42-33. It was 4-4 after the first quarter. They can win a defensive game. And then they also beat Newcastle just this past Saturday, 71-59, a complete shootout, especially there in the first half. So Carmel's able to win a lot of different ways, which is the sign, in my opinion, of a good team. They're very, very deep this year. There's no doubt about that. And I would say that they have a better chance of winning this year just because they're deep and there's not the dominant team in high school basketball that there was last year in Homestead.
Yeah, you make a great point. I'm going to touch off what Sam said a second ago was the three-point shooting has sort of lacked this year. I think it's been pretty even as what it was last year, where last year you had that one, maybe two guys that could take the consistent three in Klein and Culp and throw in Flamey into the mix as well. But this year, you bring in Garrett Covington. You have Garrett Covington, Sterling Brown, Alex Founder, Preston Flamen, even throw Cole Jenkins in the mix a little bit, who's knocked down a lot of corner threes and a lot of big moments. So there are more guys that are able to make the three-point shot than there were last year, but that also hurts the inside game as well because they are taking so many threes.
Now, Sam identified that as this team's biggest weakness. You know, what do you think the biggest weakness for this team is, Brady?
I think the biggest weakness could be their offensive rebounding. I think what they do a great job on the defensive side of the ball. Their ability for Trent Richardson, Preston Flamey to get up and get the rebounds on the defensive side of the ball and quickly push back onto the offense. But a lot of errant shots that are being taken by the offense lead to a lot of missed shots, which then in turn would give the other team the ball. Their offensive rebound has really lacked a lot.
Well, I will say the last game against Newcastle, it was the best part of their game.
Yeah.
There was no doubt because, well, the tallest player for Newcastle on the floor was 6'5", and Trenton Richardson was the most aggressive I've seen him ever since I've watched him play high school basketball, you know, and even playing him with him back in the day in youth basketball. So he had a great game, and even Garrett Covington and Preston Flamian were pounding the board. So when they play a team with smaller guys on the inside, I think offensive rebounding, they're pretty solid there. But the problem is when they're facing guys that are 6'8", 6'9", mm-hmm. probably, you know, Lawrence North has some of those guys tonight.
When someone's able to match up size-wise with Trent Richardson, throwing B.J. Berry and JMM, John Michael Malloy in that mix as well. So when they have the ability to match up with the size, that's where the toughness comes with it. Against this Newcastle team, whose tallest player, I think you said, was 6'4", 6'5", Trent had that 4 to 5 inch height advantage over those people and had the ability to easily get the rebounds. When he has a good matchup like that, when he has a size advantage, that's when the offensive rebounding comes in play. But that really hasn't happened a whole lot this year.
Now this team comes in 11-5, played really close with number one North Central at the time. They beat Pike. So with that 5 losses, do you think if they come back and play those teams again, like a Westfield or a Cathedral, they'll get the victory?
Yeah, I think losing in the regular season always benefits you down the road, especially in the postseason. You know, we even see that in the NFL with Denver and Pittsburgh. You know, Denver loses in the regular season, they come back, they win in the postseason. And that's usually the case for most sporting events. You know, you already play them, so you've seen them once, you can adapt, you can adjust. But it also, you know, in certain situations gives you a little bit more confidence against that specific team. There's always the revenge factor to look out for. So, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that if Carmel played Cathedral or Westfield down the road, especially now that they're playing better, they would win.
I'm going to quote what Coach Hetty said. I know we've quoted this so many times and we talked about it all the time. We are four possessions away from being a one-loss team. There was one game.
And arguably the number one team.
Exactly. There was one game where the Greyhounds just didn't have a chance, and that was Lawrence Central. Kyle Guy, McDonald's All-American.
It was early in the season. Second game of the year, they played terrible.
And there's not a whole lot of things you can do to shut down a guy like Kyle Guy, who is at McDonald's All-American, one of the top players in the country. Where now, all the other losses that we've had have been only by a few points. Like Coach Hetty said, we're four possessions away from being a one-loss team, possibly one of the top teams in the state.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
That's it. I mean,
it's as simple as that, and record doesn't matter in the regular season, moving into the postseason. But we were talking about Trenton Richardson, especially in that last game against Newcastle. He had a great game. So many offensive rebounds. He was very aggressive, had 14 points. I believe he had 10 in the first half, actually. So what do you think is more important, guys? Trenton Richardson having a good game, or one of the big three, Sterling Brown, Garrett Covington, or Preston Flamian having a good game?
I think it's Trenton Richardson having a good game. Whether or not he scores a whole lot or not, I think if his ability to have a good game and have these big rebounds and big defensive plays and big moments, that is huge. Because if you said one of the big three guys isn't having a good game, you have your other two that you can rely on as well, and some of the other bench players, where your depth at your big man position, yes, you have Britt Beery, John Michael Malloy, some of the guys that are at your big man, they really haven't had the same contribution that Trenton has to this team. So the big three, the three-headed monster for those guys on the basketball team, I think it's more important for Trenton to have a better game than one of the three of them.
Are we talking all three of them have a bad game at the same time, or is just one of them?
One of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, if it's one of them, then you have two other guys that can take the outside shots for
exactly.
you. If it's Sterling Brown, then Flamian can take the shot. Covington can take the shot. You know, there's always guys to step up in that role. But yeah, if Trent Richardson is having a bad game, not getting the rebounds he can, not getting the cleanup shots that he can, then, you know, that's really going to, the points in the paint is going to struggle, and I think that's going to bring down the rest of the team.
Okay, here's a different question. I'm going to word it a different way. Would you rather have Preston Flamian drop 32 points or have him score less and have Trenton score 14 points and get 10 rebounds?
I'd go with Flamian scoring 32. That's just me. I think that would benefit the team a lot more when your outside shooting is on it, because that's been the Greyhounds' strategy for the past couple of years, has been that outside shot. So I think if Flamian's having a great game, then I think that kind of covers up for everybody else.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Preston Flamian one as well. Having him have a good game, it provides that other spark that'll enlight other players to get them going throughout the game. So I think if Preston can drop 30-plus points in a game, that'll be huge for any team.
I don't know, guys. I think if Trenton has a great game, as manager Matthew Keck is looking in on us now, he's a great manager for the basketball team.
Happy birthday also, Matthew, by the way.
Happy birthday, shout out to Matthew. But if Trenton Richardson is having a good game and the team is balanced, I really think that's when Carmel is at their best, when multiple guys are contributing. If Sterling Brown has, you know, 14 points, Trenton has 14 points, Preston Flamian, 18, Garrett Covington, 12, and then other guys can contribute as well. PJ Barron off the bench with 8, something like that. I think that's when the Greyhounds are most effective than when one guy is scoring a lot of points and leading the way. I mean, obviously it helps. I mean, Preston Flamian showed that when he scored 32 against Pike, but when I think Carmel is best when they're much more balanced. So let's wrap this up with another question. Who is the toughest remaining regular season game for Carmel?
I'm going to have to say Warsaw. I know you and I talked about this before we went on air in the show earlier. Warsaw undefeated right now. They almost beat the Greyhounds last year, but in looking at mutual opponents, I'm not sure how many mutual opponents that these two teams have with each other. So that could be where that comes into play. So I think Warsaw will be the toughest opponent.
Yeah, they're tough. 18-0 coming in. But, just to say something different, I think tonight's going to be a tough challenge. Lawrence North coming in 12-5. Greyhounds have some momentum. They're going to test it tonight at a neutral location, so home field or home court advantage won't be there. But we'll see. This is going to be really the second biggest test with Covington now on the team. Pike was a big one. Now we got Lawrence North. We'll see what happens.
I'd have to agree. Lawrence North will be a very difficult challenge for them tonight. but Warsaw will also be a big one. Warsaw almost came in here to the Eric Clark Activity Center and beat us last year. They're 18-0. Tough game on the road. But the big challenge tonight to start it off at 6:30, the Carmel Greyhounds play the Lawrence North Wild. Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk. We're going to wrap it up here. Nice discussion about girls and boys basketball. Had junior guard Olivia Christie on earlier in the show. Once again, Sam and Leah Robleski will be broadcasting the game tomorrow night, Friday, along with Jake Leach. Should be a great matchup against Fishers, right, Sam?
Definitely. At 6, pregame start about 5:45. It's going to be a good game. Expect a Greyhound victory. I expect a Greyhound victory, and to move on to the sectional championship should be a good game.
And for the boys team, they play tonight at Indiana Farmers Bureau Coliseum, downtown Indianapolis. Should be also a great matchup against Lawrence North. Brady and I will have the call along with our sideline reporter, Griffin Gonzalez. Pre-game will start about 6 or so.
Yep.
Unusual start time. Remember that, 6:30 p.m. It's not the usual 7:30 varsity basketball start time, so make sure to tune in for that and for all the action. Brady, let's give a quick prediction before we wrap it up.
Ooh, you're getting me on the spot on this one early before our pregame, so get a little pregame. I like that. All right, so I'm going to say the Greyhounds are going to be able to win this one. Garrett Cummington's been too hot lately. Presto is just always on fire, as always. I think Trenton Richardson will be incorporated in this game really well, like he was last game. I say the Greyhounds are going to win this one in a late game situation, though it'll be much closer than people think. I'm going to say the Greyhounds will win 62-57.
I really do think it's going to come down to the wire. One possession game, in my opinion, going to be a very tough matchup for the Carmel Greyhounds. On a 5-game winning streak, I think they keep it going. I think they're a team of destiny right now, and I think they will get the victory in a, you know, not a defensive matchup, but fairly low-scoring game. I've got Carmel 55-51.
And you got girls swimming as well. We got the sectionals this week.
Girls
and
swimming
state
sectionals.
Next week.
They could go for their 30th straight state championship. That would be pretty unbelievable. Once again, tune in to Sam tomorrow, and then us tonight. Should be great. And that's it for us here on Hound Pound Sports Talk. For Samuel Wiederhoft, Brady Klein, I'm Jack Kaiser, saying goodbye. Have a great morning, everyone.